overview of chapter 8.
The nature of the mind is to go here, to go there, but by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, the mind becomes fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhinnatan Naminamino. There's no difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the transcendental name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna, between Krishna the name and Krishna the supreme transcendental person. By practice, one realizes that by chanting the holy name of Krishna, I'm directly associating with that supreme personality of Godhead. Person means he has his form, he has his qualities, he has his activities, he has his associates, he has his abode, he has everything. And all of them are non-different from the holy name of Krishna. So by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one realizes Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities. One doesn't have to separately endeavor. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, everything is realized. So anuchintayan, always thinking, or thinking by following in the footsteps of the acharyas, one remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead and attains the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then that Personality of Godhead is described in the next verse, Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Anoraniyangsam Anusmarejaha Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. He's described as Kavi, one who knows everything. Purana, very old, the oldest. But elsewhere, Navayovanamcha. He's not an old man with a beard and arthritis and all of that. He's always just like a fresh young boy, although Purana, the oldest person. So, Anushashitaram, he's the supreme controller, Shash Dhatu, controller of everything. Anorani Yamsa Anus Mared Yaha. Anorani Yamsa means he's smaller than the smallest. He's smaller even than the atom. Anorani Ya Mahato Mahiya. In the Vedic literature, it said that Krishna is smaller than the smallest and greater than the greatest. There's a nice commentary on this by Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says we can sort of get the idea of smaller than the smallest. You know, smaller than a finger, smaller than a pinhead, smaller than an atom, smaller than a proton, smaller than an electron, smaller, smaller, smaller. We can get the idea of smaller and smaller and smaller. We can sort of wrap our heads around that. And we can get the idea of larger. Bigger than the Empire State Building. Bigger than Mount Everest. Bigger than the sun. Bigger, bigger, bigger. So we have the idea of bigger and bigger. But Krishna is not smaller than the smallest or bigger than the biggest. He's both at the same time. Therefore, achintya, he's inconceivable. He's both smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, and maintains his charming medium size. So, thinking of him, Sarvasya Dhataram, the maintainer of everything, and Achintya Rupam, his form is inconceivable. It's beyond material, the power of the material mind to know. Aditya Varnam, Tamasa Parastat, he's radiant like the sun and transcendental to this material world. Achintya means that which is beyond this material world, which our argument, logic, and philosophical speculation cannot touch, that which is inconceivable. Therefore, intelligent persons, avoiding useless argument and speculation, should accept what is stated in scriptures like the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow the principles they set down. That will lead one to understanding. Then in the 10th chapter, the Lord, 10th verse, yeah, thank you, the Lord will mention the yoga system. There's a system called Shatchakra Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga in which one practices meditation and one gradually brings the life force through the different centers of energy, circles of energy, up to the top of the head. And then the yogi is supposed to burst through the top and go to the spiritual world. That's called Ashtanga Yoga or Shatchakra Yoga. So that's been described in the 6th chapter also. And now the Lord mentions that. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. Bruvor madhye pranam avesha samyak satam param purusham upayati divya. Prayana kale manasa chalena, at the time of death, one who works with an undeviating mind, and bhaktya, by pure devotional service, yukta, engaged in that way, yoga balena chaiva, through the power of yoga, on the strength of yoga, bruvor madhye pranama vesha samyak. He completely fixes the life air between the eyebrows. So this is the mechanical process. The life air is a sort of subtle, there's a term for that. Life air. Prana is the Sanskrit term. The prana or the life force. It's not the soul, but it's like this cushion on which the soul is sitting. Prana, life force.
It's floating. It floats in these.
Yeah, it's kind of floating on this air. Very subtle. It's not just the air of respiration, but it's the force, you can say, of life on which the one's consciousness is sitting. That's called pran. So that life air one is bringing up from chakra to chakra to chakra, then it comes to this ajna chakra between the eyebrows. That's the system and the mechanical method. Very strongly the mind is being focused, very powerfully. One is practicing celibacy, one is sitting, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, withdrawing the mind from everything external, keeping the eyes fixed on the tip of the nose, not open, not closed, half open, half closed. Very strongly, powerfully concentrating one's attention inwardly, bringing up that life air, so that at the time of death one can achieve perfection. That's what they used to do in previous ages. In the Satya Yuga, that was the system, and they did it successfully. In the Kali Yuga, who can do that? No one is able to do it, and therefore, in the Kali Yuga, Kalo nascheva 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 gatiram yata. The Harinam, the chanting of the holy name, is recommended. And the same force of yoga, bhaktya, devotional service. Yad aksharam veda vido vedanti vishanti yad yatayo vitaraga yad ichchanto brahmacharyam charanti tate padam sangrahina pravakshe. The Lord will further describe this yoga system, which is the means for entering the supreme transcendental world. In the Vedas, there's description of this, and the learned Vedic sages chant Akshara, the syllable, sacred syllable, Omkar, and these knowers of the Vedas enter the ultimate spiritual world, Vitaraga, free from Vitaraga, free from material attachments. Yes. And the Lord's going to describe that Sangrahena in summary. Sarvadwarani Sangyamya Manohridi Nirujacha Burdanyadhayatmana Pranam Astito Yogatarana. This is also described in the sixth chapter, sitting in the yogic posture, detached from all external engagements, pratyahar, mano hridi nirujyacha, fixing the mind on the Lord within the heart, bringing the life air, murdani means to the top of the head, fixing the prana, the life force there, astita yoga dharana, one becomes fixed in yoga according to that system. Om ityekaksharam brahma vyaharan mamanusmaran ya prayati chajandeham sayati paramam gatim. Sitting that way, he vibrates the sacred syllable Om, and vyaharan, chanting in that way, mamanusmaran, he thinks of me. Again, this is the purpose of all the practice, the purpose of all the disciplines of yoga, is to fix the mind on Krishna. And the result will be sayati paramam gatim. One will attain the supreme destination. The Om and Brahma and the Absolute and Krishna are not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. The chanting of Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra, is clearly recommended in this age. So if one quits his body at the end of life chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, he certainly reaches one of the spiritual planets according to his mode of practice. There are different practice, different spiritual planets, and the topmost planet is the Krishna Loka planet. Prabhupada explained Om and Hare Krishna. Om is the syllable that addresses the Absolute, generally chanted by the impersonalists. In particular, the devotees also chant Om, Om Agyana Timirandasya, Om Adha Purnamidam. But the impersonalists generally don't go beyond Om. They're very Omi. The Prabhupada said that Om is like the formal representation of the Lord as letters, as a syllable. And Krishna is his name. He gave the example that we say Mr. President. So Mr. President addresses the President of the United States. But he could be anyone. Could be Obama, or could be whoever comes next, or whoever came before. Mr. President addresses the post. Addresses the post. But when we say Mr. Obama, or if we say Barack, for those who are close enough to call him Barack, then it's personal. Then it's not Johnson or Nixon or Bush or the other Bush or this one or that one. Then it's very particularly that one person. So Om is general, the absolute truth. But for those who have further understanding, Krishna is that same absolute truth, but realized in his personal feature. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nitya shaha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. Ananya cheta satatam, always thinking of Krishna without thinking of other things, without deviating the mind to some other target. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashaha. Nityashaha and satatam, Prabhupada said, mean always, regularly, every day. This is abhyas, practicing, always to think of Krishna, every day to think of Krishna, constantly to think of Krishna, regularly to think of Krishna. This practice of chanting so many rounds every day is for that purpose, regularly to think of Krishna, regularly to think of Krishna, every day to think of Krishna. Yomam smarati nityashaha, remembering Krishna in this way, tasyaham sulabha partha, for such a person, I'm easy to reach. Sulabh means easy, easy to achieve. Why nitya yuktasya yogana? Because he's always engaged in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is encouraging us that if we take to this process of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna becomes easily attained. By chanting, it's not simply mechanical, but one advances and remembers Krishna in ecstasy and love. And Prabhupada explains that. There are five different loving relationships with Krishna, and the devotee becomes attached to Krishna in a some particular way. And Krishna helps. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna helps guide the devotee from within. So with Krishna's help, it becomes easy. For the impersonalists, it's more difficult. They have to fix their mind on something, no form, no qualities, no name. No. How do you fix your mind on that? There's nothing to fix it on. But the personality of Godhead, there's so many things. Krishna's form, Krishna's quality, just Krishna's form, his lotus feet, his strong arms, his beautiful face, his lotus eyes, and on and on and on. It's described, his feet are described like as being like a lotus, his eyes are like a lotus, his navel is like a lotus, his face is like a lotus. So it's mentioned the inhabitants of Vrindavan were seeing lotuses everywhere. Mam upetya punarjanma tu kalyam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha sang siddhim paramam gataha. There's an alternative to going back to Krishna. One can stay here in this material world. And what is that? Dukhalya. Krishna says, it's a miserable place. It's a place where you get lots of misery. And that's described extensively in Srila Prabhupada's books, what kind of miseries there are in the material world. And every one of us has experience of so many miserable things, miseries from the body and mind, miseries from other living beings, viruses, mosquitoes, copperheads.
Chiggers.
Hmm?
Chiggers.
Chiggers. I thought you said children, but that's also true. Yeah, other people's children can give us probably a problem. We don't have to have our own. Tax authorities, governments, armies, banks, thieves, and so many. So, dukkhalaya, miseries from the body, miseries from the mind, miseries from nature, too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry. Miseries from other living beings. So dukkhalaya, all three of these miseries may be on us, two, at least one. Then someone says, you're just a pessimist, you're just seeing the glasses half empty, I see the glasses half full. I think you're just frustrated, but my life is very nice. Maybe you don't know how to live happily in this world, but I know. I have a very nice family. I have a very nice wife. My children are very good. I'm happy with my work. It's nice. You can be as sour as you want, but I say life is nice. And Krishna says, Ashashvata. All right, your life is very nice, but you're going to get kicked out. Ashashvata means temporary. My family is very nice, my home is very nice, everything is nice, but I'm going to get kicked out. And then what? Then I have to go to the next life, and I don't know. Will it be such a nice wife, such a nice home, such a nice country, such a nice this? If I become even nice country, but if I become a chigger in the country... So Krishna neatly sums up the nature of this material world in two words, dukkhalaya ashashvata, full of miseries and temporary. But one who attains Krishna, napnuvanti punarjanma, he doesn't have to come back. Punarjanma means birth again. This is the law of nature. Jatasya hi dhruvar mityur, dhruvam janma mrtasya cha. For one who's born, death is certain. And you can't say, well, that may be your belief. If you believe it, it's true for you. No way. It's true for you whether you believe it or you don't believe it. Death doesn't come and say, do you believe in me? Well, if you believe in me, then I'm going to... No. Believe in me or don't believe in me, I'm there. Jatasya hi, for one who's been born, dhruvo mrtyur. Death is certain. It's law of nature. It's not that the world is whatever I make it in my mind. Do whatever you want with your mind, but death will come. And dhruvam janma mrtasya cha. For one who dies, birth is equally certain. That's the other side of the law of nature. That we don't see, but that's a fact. The intelligent person also can see that by careful consideration. Or he can take it on Krishna's word, that after you die, then you have to take birth again. And again, I don't know, will I be a human being? Will I be an American? Will I be a dog? Will I be a cat? Will I be a bug? Will I be a tree? There are 8,400,000 species of life. One has to go on and on and on. Again and again and again. Sometimes high birth, sometimes low birth. Sometimes this, sometimes that. Sometimes a rich man, sometimes a poor man, sometimes a bug. Punarjanma. Endlessly punarjanma. But mamupecha punarjanma, napnuvanti mahatman. One who attains me doesn't have to go to punarjanma again. He's finished. Why? Sangsiddhim paramam gata. He's attained complete perfection. This is the perfection of life, to attain Krishna. Mahatmanaha. Mahatmanaha means the great souls who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. They receive transcendental messages from realized devotees and thus gradually develop in devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They want only Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. This is the goal. Now in these next verses, Lord Krishna describes the nature of this material world in terms of time and gradually in terms of time. First he says, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartin Arjuna. A Brahma means the planet of Lord Brahma, the highest planet in this material world. From that highest planet down to the lowest planet, they're all places of birth and death. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka. Even if I take birth on Brahma Loka, Punarvartin Arjuna. Again, I have to come back for repeated birth and death. Mam upetya tu kaunteya, punarjanma na vidyate. But one who attains Krishna never has to come back again. Prabhupada makes reference in the purport to something called Panchagni Vidya from the Chandogya Upanishad, which is a system of fruitive activities by which one is elevated to the moon planet, which is a heavenly planet, and enjoys soma ras, a heavenly beverage. But from there he has to fall down. Therefore, even going up, he comes down again. What is that that I'm thinking? Chine punye marchulokam vichanti. He uses up his pious activities and comes down again. Then what's the use? But one who attains to Krishna never comes back. Now time is described. Sahasri yuga paryantam ahar yad brahmano viduhu. Ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratrivido janaha. The time is calculated relatively. The 100 years of the... Everyone's supposed to live for 100 years. But my 100 years and the bug's 100 years are different. The bug lives 100 years, but that 100 years may be just one night. And Brahma lives 100 years, and now his time span is being described. 8,400,000 times 1,000. Sahasra Yuga. A Yuga here means the four Yuga cycles put together. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. That's described in the purport how long each one is. You put it together, 4,300,000 times 1,000, because 1,000 Sahasra Yuga, 1,000 of those ages, is one day of Brahma, 12 hours. So to get his full day and night, multiply times 2. So 4,300,000, that's one full set of ages, times 1,000, 12 hours, times 2, 24 hours, and to calculate his lifetime, times 30 to get 1 month, times 100. 4,300,000 times 2, 4,300,000 times 2, times 30, times 100. Is that right?
Times
12. I left out 12.
Yeah.
Left out the number of months. So his 12 months make 1 year, and then 100 years. So that means...
Long time.
Long time. But, so that's Brahma's one night and one day. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarva prabhavantya haragame ratriagame praliyante tatraiva avyakta sangyake. Now the cosmic cycles of time are being described. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all the living beings become manifest. Where are they becoming manifest from? From the unmanifest. Unmanifest means, just like I've been here most of the day, but you are all unmanifest. Now you're all manifest. And sometime in the evening, most likely, you'll all become unmanifest again.
To you.
To me. To me. We're seeing one another, but before we weren't seeing, and afterwards we weren't seeing, because we were all somewhere else. So, beginning of Brahma's day means the time when the cosmic manifestation is developed, active. At that time, all the living beings become manifest from within the body of the Lord. They're eternally existing. It's not that they're created at that time, but they come out. And then night falls and unmanifest. We see that, or I remember when I was in Scandinavia especially, if you go out at night, everyone is unmanifest. It's so cold that everybody goes inside, everybody goes... You know, nobody just stays out in the street drinking till 2 in the morning. Everybody's gone. It's deserted.
Except for you.
Now I had to take a train. So it was almost spooky. You know, I went to the train station and there's like, I thought I saw someone disappear behind a pillar or something. You know, like one person in this enormous train station.
Mad dogs and Englishmen.
Kind of like that. So Brahma's day comes, all the living beings come out and they're all busy, so many things, and going through birth after birth after birth and lifetime after lifetime. And then as night comes, everything's wrapped up. That's described more in the Srimad Bhagavatam. From our planet down to the lower ones, they're all wiped out. Higher planets, they stay for some time longer. Bhutagramas evayam bhutva praliyate ratriagame vishaparta prabhavatyaharagame. Again and again the day comes and the living beings are manifest. Again and again the night comes and they're all helplessly. Avasha means helplessly annihilated. Not only Brahma, but all the planets on which those living beings are standing, and up to the middle planetary systems, they're all destroyed. And then finally, Brahma's life comes to an end, and everything is destroyed. So the universes are finally coming out when Vishnu exhales, and they come in again when he inhales. Yes, yaika nishvasita kala matabalam yajivanti loma vilaja jagadandanat. Brahma and his universe, with its enormous time, are manifest during one exhalation of Lord Vishnu.
The power breath.
Power breath. But so how things are going on and are gone. And bhutva bhutva pradiyate, manifest unmanifest, manifest unmanifest. This is going on. But parastasmad tu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Beyond all this manifest unmanifest, there's something else. There's another nature, which is also unmanifest, but this is transcendental, sanatana. The unmanifest nature at the night of Brahma means a temporary situation. Manifest, unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest. Beyond that, there's something totally unmanifest, something beyond this material world. Yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. When everything here is destroyed, that part isn't destroyed. It stays as it is. You want to add something, Mitra?
Well, I was going
to
ask, Mahavishnu breathes in, everything's annihilated. Does that correspond with Brahma's 100 years?
Yeah. Yeah, his exhalation, time, that span of time, is the duration of the universe, which is the same as the duration of Brahma's lifetime. So his exhalation, 4,300,000 times 2 times 12 times 30 times 100.
It must take him a long time to exhale if he's on such a different time scale. So some of those universes are out there a lot longer than others, and then they all come back in. It's a long inhalation. He's either breathing out or he's breathing in.
That you'll have to do a separate study.
Yeah, I'm sure it all works out. I'm sure
it's well thought out.
Whether it works the way we usually have it, you know, where the last one out is the last one in.
Well, there's different Brahmas with different amounts of heads and so on. So.
Yeah, this gets to be
very complicated.
Quite beyond us.
I just thought I'd throw that one.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it could be. You, from our point of view, it's a really long breath, but from his point of view, it's...
Yeah, exactly. From Lord Vishnu's point of view, I mean, you're calculating, like you breathe out, you breathe in. So, you know, some of it comes in quicker and some of it goes faster. Now, how much time is that? The difference between, you know, the first oxygen that you get in and the last bit of oxygen that you get in. You know, let's consider very carefully how, you know, the difference between the two. It's like, you know, one piece of a second. So for Vishnu also. Yeah, you know, we're looking at the difference. Well, if I could be in the farthest universe out there, then I'd live a little longer as Brahma. You know, yeah, 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering about this verse, parastasmat bhavanyo vyakto vyakta. There is transcendental to this unmanifest nature of vyakta is transcendental to this unmanifest nature.
Mm-hmm.
Both, but in the translation it says it's transcendental to this manifest and unmanifest nature. I was just wondering if you could explain that. In the Sanskrit, it just says the unmanifest nature is transcendental to the unmanifest nature.
Mm, right.
And I was curious how that...
How it got that way?
I mean, the English translation makes sense to me, but I'm wondering how the Sanskrit expresses that with just by saying unmanifest.
It's implied because the Lord's been talking about manifest and unmanifest. Unmanifest is, you know, the beyond. It's the state beyond the manifest, not in some transcendental way, but it's, you know, the part we don't see. It's, you know, beyond the twilight, beyond the twilight zone. So there's the manifest, there's the unmanifest, and beyond the unmanifest. Just like America's manifest to us, China is not manifest to us. And if something's beyond China, then it's certainly beyond America. America is manifest to us, and China is further away. It's not manifest. And if something's beyond China, then it's really unmanifest.
So we're taking the perspective that even if you take the furthest unmanifest aspect of material nature, beyond that is something transcendent.
It's beyond that. And if it's beyond that, then it's certainly beyond the manifest.
Yeah.
It's beyond what you can see and beyond what you can't see. So if it's beyond what you can't see, it's definitely beyond what you can.
So manifest in English is just being thrown in there to avoid like a apparent contradiction.
No, Prabhupada's just being comprehensive. It's implied. If he's beyond what you can't see, he's definitely beyond what you can see.
Yeah.
And the Lord has been talking about what you can see and what you can't see, or what's manifest, what's unmanifest. And so Prabhupada's beyond the whole business. This whole cycle has been described of Brahma's life with all these days and nights, manifest, unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest. Beyond that, it's beyond the unmanifest. What to speak of being beyond the manifest? It's beyond the whole business. So it's implicit there. It's like the way butter's there in the yogurt. You just have to churn it up a little bit to see it.
Yeah.
So it's there, and Prabhupada's churning the verse a bit.
It's kind of like in the 15th chapter, the fallible and the infallible, and the Paramatma being beyond both.
Beyond both.
It's an accomplished system here.
Yeah. Avyaktokshurit yuktas tamahu paramam gatim. We have time, right? Yeah, a little more. I think we can finish things up. Yeah, that's not a lot. Avyaktokshurit yuktas tamahu paramam gatim. Yam prapya nani vartante tadama paramam mama. In the Vedanta, in the Vedic literature, there's discussion of this unmanifest, infallible, ultimate destination from which one never returns. And Krishna here says, Tad Dhamma Paramam Mama. That's my place. That's my supreme abode. Purushasa Paraparta Bhaktya Labhyastrananyaya Yasyantakstani Bhutani Yena Sarvamidam Tatam. By pure devotional service, bhaktya, ananyaya, unalloyed, jnana karmadyanavritam, free from mental speculation and sense gratification, one can achieve that supreme person. Everything is within him, and yet he's within everything. Yatra kale, now in this section, next section, Krishna will describe different times at which one may leave the body. Arjuna is asked, how can one remember you at the time of death? And the Lord has described that, and in that connection he's described the system of Ashtanga Yoga or Shat Chakra Yoga. And now he's going to describe different times at which one may leave. And at some of these times, if one leaves at a particular time, he may achieve perfection, and if he leaves at another time, he comes back. The idea is that in this yoga system, you have to, as we described, you're bringing that prana up through the different chakras, finally you're leaving, but you have to leave at the right time, because it's a mechanical system, and you got to be... You have to be precise, just like they have these rocket launches. You know, they're going to Mars, or they're going to the Moon, or they're going here, they're going there. But the launch has to be at the right time. If they've calculated that if it leaves at this time, then the trajectory, this. And if you don't leave at the right time, even the ordinary planes, they're calculated to leave at a certain time. If you don't leave within that window, you sit on the tarmac for another 20 minutes or another hour.
Or three.
You miss your connecting flight.
You miss your connecting flight because you have to leave at a certain time. If you want to go, you have to leave at this time. If you don't leave at that time, you sit. So here, the yogi also, he has to leave at a certain time. If he leaves at that certain time, he can attain the Supreme. If he leaves at another time, he achieves another destination, which we'll read about. Agnir Jyoti Raha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachchanti Brahma Brahma Vidojana. First, the successful transcendentalists, they leave at these auspicious times, Jyoti, the time of light, the time of the fiery god, the 6 months when the sun is in the north. These are all times when there are like heavenly demigods who are overseeing things and giving their blessings. And that's those are the good times. Dhumo ratris tata krishna shanmasa dakshinayanam tatra chandramasam jyotir yogi prapya nivartate. These are the wrong times. The time of smoke, the time of the dark fortnight, the time of the when the sun is in the south. The yogi who leaves at that time reaches the moon, tatra chandramasam. The moon which is aspired to by the performers of Vedic sacrifices, the moon which is aspired to by the astronauts, that moon is the booby prize for the failed yogi. Shukla Krishna Gati Hyete Jagata Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yachinavritim Anyaya Vartate Puna. So there are these two times to go, the auspicious and inauspicious, the dark or the light. And when one goes in the light, he achieves perfection. When he goes in dark, and he comes back. Naite sriti partajanan yogi muhyati kaschana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjana. Don't worry about these two paths. The yogi, although the yogi knows about these, the devotee, he'll not be bewildered. So Prabhupada says one should always be engaged in devotional service. Vedeshu yagyeshu tapasshu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanu paiti chajam. There are different results that can be achieved by Vedic study, by performing sacrifices, by austerity, by giving charity. Punya palam, these are all pious results. Punya palam pradishtam. Atyeti, one surpasses all of these. Tat sarvam idam. One goes beyond all of these. Yogi param sthanam upaiti chajyam. Simply by devotional service, he attains the supreme destination. He goes back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world of Krishna. And in the last verse, in the last part of the purport, Prabhupada explains the process. One who has a little faith in the Bhagavad Gita should learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee. Because in the beginning of the fourth chapter, it's stated clearly that Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees. No one else can perfectly understand the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee of Krishna, not from mental speculators. This is called, this is a sign of faith. When one searches for a devotee, and fortunately gets a devotee's association, one actually begins to study and understand the Bhagavad Gita. By advancement in the association of the devotee, one is placed in devotional service, and this service dispels all one's misgivings about Krishna, or God, and Krishna's activities, forms, pastimes, names, and other features. After these misgivings have been perfectly cleared away, one becomes fixed in one's study. Then one relishes the study of Bhagavad Gita and attains the state of feeling always Krishna conscious. In the advanced stage, one falls completely in love with Krishna. This highest perfectional stage of life enables the devotee to be transferred to Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan, where the devotee becomes eternally happy. Any questions? Any comments?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that verse that if he passes in the light, then he attains perfection. In the darkness, he returns. I always somehow just assumed that was day and night, but clearly that's not the case.
No, it's not just day and night.
What, this figurative, just like...
There are particular times, let's see, this is all fairly technical, but Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan describes that these are times when there are presiding deities who make arrangements for the transfer of the soul. So there's the Agni, the influence of the fire god, Jyoti, Aha, whether it means the daytime, I don't know.
Well, a few verses, or a couple verses after that, there's one verse that says, just when one passes in the light, he attains perfection, and
yeah,
in the darkness, he... So that's...
But that the...
Isn't that referring to the cycles of the sun? Where
yes.
The sun is in the northern...
Well, that's Uttarayana.
Yeah.
But Aha, whether Aha means, you know, daytime, literal daytime, I'm not quite sure. Agni means the time when the Agni is
the
fire god is there. Jyoti, again, there's light, doesn't define it further. The day, Shukla means the when the moon is waxing. And Shanmasa Uttarayanam, when the sun is in the Uttarayanam, the northern transit. And that's all description. If you look in the fifth canto, you'll find the description of Uttarayana and Dakshinayana, when the sun is in the north, when the sun is in the south. And then the next verse is just the opposite. Dumo, Ratra, Tata, Krishna, Sanmasha, Dakshinayana, 6 months when it's in the south, the fortnight when the moon is getting smaller, the night, they smoke. So these are not good times to leave.
I'm so thankful we don't have to worry about
it. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. You know, you do 60,000 years of yoga.
Better.
And then, you know, you leave during Dakshinayana and you have to come back.
So I don't think people can control it so much nowadays.
No, who can control that?
But at least you get the moon.
Yeah. And in one sense, that's a curse, because you have to live there for thousands and thousands of years until you can come back and get started again.
It's getting worse here while you're living there.
It's getting worse here while you're living there. That's Jivananda Prabhu.
We see also that Bhishma, when he was leaving,
yeah,
wait until the sun was going into the middle.
Yeah. Bhishma Dev.
So,
those who could do it in those days.
No,
Bhishma Dev is such a yogi. They wait till the exact time. He had that boon that he could leave when he wanted to leave.
Yeah.
So he waited. But the most important thing is that he waited till he could have Krishna just before him.
Mm-hmm.
That was the real...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was an excuse.
The other things, just like Prabhupada, he left in Vrindavan. By choice. He could have left anywhere from someplace else, but he thought, now I'm leaving, let me go to Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is the most auspicious place for leaving this world in Krishna consciousness. But if Prabhupada had left from New York, or Prabhupada had left from Paris, or Prabhupada had left from Sao Paulo, he would have attained the same destination. But he thought, let me leave in Vrindavan. No, Bhishma Dev also. Mm-hmm.
Well, we just read about the passing of Haridasa Thakur.
Mm.
He just left in the Lord
Chaitanya. Yeah.
Well, looking at Lord Chaitanya.
Looking at Lord Chaitanya's face. And everyone remembered the passing of Bhishma Dev.
Yes.
In the Lord's expansion is Mahavishnu, so he's breathing out, and then it becomes the day of Brahma, and all time comes from there.
So Lord Mahavishnu, is he still above time, or in that expansion?
Oh, he's above time.
He's always above time.
Yeah. But Brahma's within time.
But so it's the breathing, but that's kind of the beginning of time, maybe?
Yeah, when the universes are created, then it's described how time, the Lord enters into them as the time factor. Mm. The time, what is that? Kalosmi, the time is the Lord himself. So the Lord in his impersonal aspect of as time enters the universe, and then everything gets started. The birth of Brahma and all of that. Otherwise, nothing's happening. Nothing happens here without time. Put a pot on the stove with fire underneath it and water inside, and nothing happens until you add time. So nothing happens in the material world until the Lord activates everything through his glance, which carries time. Yeah.
So this is in the middle six chapters on devotional service, and I thought it was interesting. Now, we already did yoga. Now we're going back to yoga. I mean, I know it's to contrast how devotional service is easier, but it is kind of interesting. You know, you're reading all these verses, and, you know, this is... always think of me, and then all of a sudden we're doing the yoga system again.
Mm.
And it's like, what? But then I kind of think of the eighth chapter as kind of underrated, because there are some really great verses in here about devotion.
Tremendous. This is, you know, in this chapter, what is the destination? How do I get there?
I'm easy.
And why do
attend.
I want to go? Very wonderful chapter, eighth chapter. And Prabhupada really, as I mentioned, he really focuses that this is the practical way to get out of the material world and attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Ram Ram, Hare
Hare. As we're aging, you know, and even some of our God brothers and God sisters, you know, some devotees are getting a little dementia as part of the deterioration of the body.
I think we're all getting a little dementia.
It's a good reason for chanting and really ingraining that. What if that was the only thing you could remember? You know, that would be the best thing to remember is the Maha Mantra.
Yeah.
So, remember Mother Isha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All she could remember was Krishna.
All she could remember was Krishna. I went to see her in 2005, and she didn't remember me, although we were very close back in the 70s.
Mm.
But we went for a long walk, and everything she saw reminded her of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
She just saw Krishna everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you saw that video that Naranjana Swami took. Chanting with so much feeling.
Mm.
She just passed away recently.
Yeah. Tasyaham Sulabha, Krishna says, I make it easy for the person who's always engaged in my service. And we have the practical demonstration.
There's a devotee in... she's in San Diego, the oldest probably.
Raja Madhu.
She passed away.
She just left.
She passed away,
a few days ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But a few months ago, I heard that all she remembered was Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.
One of my other God sisters, she was in hospice, and all of a sudden the devotees came rushing to the temple. Vilasini, her name was. She was the pujari for Radhalandanishram. That Vilasini is dying. So the devotees all went to the hospice where she was. And she was in coma. And, she was in coma. And devotees began chanting. And she came out of coma.
Yeah.
Where are my beads?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she came out of coma. You know, like... there's no devotees around, just these doctors who might as well be in coma.
She's the Velasini that was in France?
Yes.
She's the very first devotee I met.
Wow.
She was Bhakti Mary, and she opened the door when I knocked on the door. And she said, "Hi, my name's Mary. All you have to do is bring your toothbrush, and you can live here for the rest of your life." And and I did.
Great preaching technique.
Get right to the point. Go right for the clothes, right?
What a grief.
And I never saw her again after that. I moved in the next day, and she had already gone with another couple to open her preaching center.
She was just there to give you that little.
Yeah,
little
yeah, that's right.
There was another devotee in New Vrindavan that used to sew for the deities, and she had Alzheimer's, and they put her in a nursing home, and she would wander off, and then the police would find her, and the only way they knew where to take her is because she would say, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." They would bring her back to New Vrindavan. "I think this is one of yours."
Something that came to my mind as far as leaving body is Maharaj Parikshit was cursed by Sringi to die in 7 days. So then Krishna made the arrangement for Sukadeva Goswami to come. But there were also a lot of sages there for that. And it came to my I'm just curious, how, I mean, 7 days is not very much time. How did word get around so quickly that all the sages could come? And how did all the sages get there so quickly?
They all had
face
location.
Yogic Facebook.
How did word get around?
Yogi social network.
That's right.
Narada Muni, maybe.
One of the many mysteries.
The yogis are always logged on.
Yeah, they're.
I think Prabhupada mentions that someplace in a purport that essentially the Lord guided them to be there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
People wound up in Vrindavan at the Prabhupada's departure. Of course, the word went out, but Krishna pulled people there.
Yeah.
And sometimes even people who, somehow Krishna made the arrangement that they came there for one reason or another. So, it was Krishna's arrangement. But exactly how Krishna, but he's within the heart.
Yeah.
Brahmayan Sarvabhutani.
Anybody who's in contact with Super Soul.
Or with whom the Super Soul was in contact. Like Uddhava, Krishna brought him to Vrindavan. Of course, he gave a direct order face to face. But he can give the order to the sages. Go to this place. Sometimes that happens. Preachers are wandering all around. They don't know exactly why they're going to a particular place. But Krishna brings to them to some particular place, and there's somebody they have to meet there.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that has to happen. And Krishna. So the Prabhupada said, "I don't know why you brought me here."
Mm.
Ugrastan. Mm.
Indudumna writes about that all the time.
Mm. Oh yeah, Krishna brings him to all sorts of places for all sorts of reasons, for one reason. But.
There was one of our goddesses, for some reason I can't remember her name, she was living in Alachua, outside of Alachua. I think she was in hospice, and this was Akuti's son-in-law's mother. I just can't remember her name. Anyway.
Kuti's son-in-law's mother. Okay.
Yeah. So, in the middle, you know, she was not, they didn't know how much longer she was going to live. She had cancer. And one night, Kuti woke up in the middle of the night. I have to go to the hospital. I have to go. And she was leaving.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, of course, she lived in the heart.
I just heard that about some other devotee who was there when his mother passed away. It was just like that. It was just, he went there.
Was
it Niranjan?
Yeah, he was telling that he came and just was found his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Niranjan Maharaj that he was hearing about.
It was recently here.
Oh,
yeah.
Spring,
yeah, maybe that's who I was hearing about. Yeah. Just like
Krishna
that.
Directed
he was
me to go be with my father. Just, you know, I was scheduled to go see him. The next day, I was like hearing a voice.
It was someone else
right
other than
now.
Niranjan Swami. So
because he was there right at the right time. I think he had said his sister, and you were at odds about the consciousness, and that he came to be there, and he was the one to be there.
So there, Krishna's arrangement is there. He was just. The Dani Buddhi Yogamtam, he directs you be there. The sages were directed. Anything else? Some question? Okay, we can stop here. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Oh, Bimala.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Our old press girl.
She had a son named Puri.
Puri,
yeah. I remember him as a kid from town,
yeah.
Yeah. She lived in Philadelphia for a while there.
Yes.
Or in that school.
Yeah.
A little more kirtan? Who's kirtaning it up? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is.
There he
Mitra.
Is. The man himself.
The man of the hour. We're just looking for a little kirtan.
What do we have?
There's
a mridanga. I left my mandolin in this destination.
Any harmonium or guitar?